You know, the Apostle Paul, he was a man of great determination. You know, the Bible is filled with great men who were determined to do God's will. We had some who reluctantly did it, and I'm thinking about men like Moses, who was reluctant to go to work for the Lord. In fact, he basically had to be talked into it. Now, when he started, he did a great work for God, but he was reluctant to begin. We had those who started out very active working for God, and then they were slowed down, and I'm thinking of the Apostle Peter, who even denied Christ after becoming a follower of the Lord, and then had to get back in line and back on track again. But when you think about the Apostle Paul, from the first time that we were introduced to him in the early parts of Acts, we find a dedicated man. Even before he was a Christian, he worked diligently for his God, the same God that you and I work for today. He was just going about it in the wrong way. But he felt that he was working for his God. He was a man of great determination. He wanted to succeed in the things that he did. In fact, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome." He wasn't in Rome when he said that. But he wanted to go there and preach to these people. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, "I labored more abundantly than they all." He is letting you know, I am a worker. I'm ready to go to work. I'm not going to quit. And then in Philippians 1 verse 17, he said, "I am set for the defense of the gospel." He stood up for his God. And at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, with all the determination that he had lived in, he said, "I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." The Apostle Paul, from day one to day end, lived a life of determination. Now, in another passage of Scripture, he made another statement that talks about the deep determination that he had to live and to work for his God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's what he was so determined about. He was determined for that, to get that prize. He knew what God had waiting on him, and he wanted it. And he lived every day of his life in pursuit of that. You know, the word press, as we use it, is defined different ways as time has gone by. You go to Vine's Expository Dictionary, and it's number 1377 in Vine's Dictionary, and it simply means to pursue, to go after something, to see something and yearn for it. You go over to Thayer's Greek English Lexicon, and it defines the word press as to seek after eagerly, to run after, one who runs swiftly to reach the goal. And it's not something that you just casually do or you just half-heartedly do. This is something that you do with all of your might. This is so important to you that it is just something that you have to have. And this is how Paul felt about serving his God. You know, I love to watch the Olympics, both summer and winter. I wish they came every year instead of every other year. Because you watch these young athletes and they will give it everything they have. If they're running in a foot race and they're coming close to that goal line, they will stretch and stretch just as far as they can while they're running to reach that line. And they put every ounce of energy so that they can win. It is so important for them to win. And you know, Paul talks about the race, that we are in a race, and we need to run hard, we need to run constant, because we need to win that race. We press. Tonight I want us to take the words, "I press," as Paul used them here in Philippians, and use them to maybe encourage us as we run in the Christian race. Now, we press in many different ways. So what I want to do tonight is talk about the different ways that we press as we press toward that heavenly home that we so desperately yearn for. The first thing I want to suggest to you is that we press on. You know, most of us in this room, we have already succeeded in many things in life. Most of us in this room have already achieved the education status that we want in life. And we may have some in here who only have gone through high school. We may have college graduates. We may have graduates who've went on to graduate school. I don't know your situation, but we have pretty much succeeded in where we want to be intellectually or educationally. We have all matured as adults. We have, as Christians, put on Christ in baptism. We sit tonight in this room together as a family of God. But you know, that's not the ending of the story, or it should not be the ending of our story, because now that we are Christians, and many of us have been Christians in here for a long time, from day one we should be pressing. We should be pressing on, because we are not yet where we need to be. You know, there are many things involved in pressing on. Number one, we have to have a positive mindset. We have to know that we can achieve that which we are working for. I would like to think that every one of us, from the day that we became a child of God, that we understood that I can do this. I can live the Christian life. I can follow the commandments of my Lord. And I can hear Him say, when this life is over, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I would like to think that every one of us has had that in our minds from day one when we became a child of God, and that we have pressed on to reach that goal. Paul gives us admonition in this in Philippians 4, verse 13. He encourages us by his own life. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There was no doubt in Paul's mind that he could achieve that which he needed to achieve as a child of God. And I would like to think that every one of us in this room has that positive mindset that, yes, I can live the Christian life. Because I got to tell you, my friends, if you ever reach a thought in your head that you can't do something, chances are you won't do it. It's not going to be an easy task. It's not going to be something that you just do it half-hearted and expect to get the right result. It is something you've got to press for. You've got to work for. You cannot give in. We need that positive mindset. And like Paul, we can do it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, "Hey, I did it. I'm ready to be offered. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I've done all the things that are necessary, and now I'm waiting for my Lord to come get me." And we must have that same positive attitude as we live our lives from day to day. Secondly, we need a commitment to the future. Now, what that means is stop looking back at what has happened in the past. Don't think back to the times that you have failed. Don't think back to the mistakes that you have made. Don't think back to how you have mishandled situations that were difficult, yes, and you did the wrong thing. Don't think about the lust and the sins of the past that you had in your life. You know, Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, He says, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, I tested that verse one time. I guess I was in college, and my granddaddy was a farmer. Even after he retired, he continued to farm. And he did so with animals. He never liked the tractor. He liked the old mule. I guess it was because they were about as stubborn as he was. I don't know. But I was there, and he was in the field, and he gave me an opportunity to plow with his mule. And I had done it before. Daddy had let me do it a couple of times, but I was thinking about this verse because I was actually putting a sermon together, and this verse was in there. And so I thought, I'm going to put this to the test. So I get behind the plow, and I warp the old mule on the back so he'll take off, and here we go. It's a pretty long road that we're going through, and everybody every few feet, I'm doing this. Well, you know, the mule, he thinks too, and he will go straight if you tell him to. But when you turn, it pulls that rein a little bit, you know, and he's going to do what that rein tells him to do. By the time I got to the end, my row was like this. And when I went back, I kept looking straight ahead. And you know, my row was straight. And I handed my granddaddy his mule back, and I was so happy with myself. I want you to know, you can't look back and expect to walk a straight line. When you leave tonight, walk down the aisle and keep looking back while you're walking and see how many pews you run into. I guarantee you that you will. We have to look ahead. We must put all of our energy and all of our effort in what we do and do it straight. And that's the third thing. We must use all of our effort to achieve the goals that we have. You know, Paul tells us in Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not as unto men. You know, God can motivate us in ways that we cannot motivate ourselves. Because look what He has to offer us, and what do we have to offer ourselves that can even compare with what God has in line for us? So we need to motivate ourselves and use our energies to move in the right direction. You know, there is a rule, and this works. The 10% rule. If you will give 10% more in whatever you do than others, you're going to excel far beyond the others. If you will put forth that kind of effort, the extra effort, you will do well. So we press on. We must press on. The second thing we must do is that we must be able to press against. You know, as we go through life, there are going to be things that come up against us. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. There are going to be hills that we're going to have to climb, and it takes more effort to go up a hill than it does to walk on a flat land. Now, if you don't believe that, go to the Smoky Mountains, and between Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Cherokee, North Carolina, there is a place there called Clingman's Dome. Anybody ever been to Clingman's Dome? Yeah. You ever climbed up Clingman's Dome? Well, I'm going to tell you, I've done it a couple of times, and it's about a half a mile walk from as far as you can go in a car till you get to the top of that observation tower. And I'm going to tell you, by the time you get there, if your tongue is long enough, it's going to be hanging out. Because it is a hard, hard walk. Now, I was a kid the last time I did. I would not dare try to do it now. And it's 100% uphill. And when you've been doing it for about 2 hours, you'll come up to a little sign that'll say, you're halfway there. It is a hard walk. And it's all uphill. We are going to find in our life, we're going to have to go uphill. You're going to face strong headwinds. You ever been out in a headwind? Did anybody step outside of your house the night that Hurricane Michael came through? We were over here at the church when Hurricane Michael came through. We felt that the building would be a little safer place than our house. So Alan and I would sneak out to the door to take a look at what's going on outside. And when we did, we noticed that the wind had taken one of our mats and was just blowing it up against the door, and it was popping the door as it would blow it up against the door. So I decided I'm going to go out there and get that mat. Let me tell you, that's one of the hardest things I've ever tried to do. That wind was so strong that, and Alan opened up the door, and he got the door away from him and slapped the door against the wall. Headwinds are hard, and they're very hard to move against. Sometimes you're going to face headwinds that is going to try to push you in a direction that you don't want to go. And there are also going to be people who are going to push against you. People who are going to want to go the opposite way. And they're going to want you to go in the opposite way. Have you ever walked down a hallway where everybody's going one way and you're trying to go the other way? How hard is that? Yeah. We're going to have to press against things in life. And when you find things against you spiritually, you're going to find it very difficult to press against them. But our Lord gives us something that helps us as we press against things. Galatians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He gives you things that will encourage you, things that will strengthen you, things that will build you up, that will allow you to stand against the world. Because I want to tell you, the world is going to press against you. The world will seek to put you into its mold. And it's vile and it's a corrupt mold. And we have to press against them. You know, Paul tells us, do not be conformed to this world. When it presses against you, don't let it. Press back. Fight back. Don't give in to the ways of this world. James tells us that we need to press against temptation, all forms of temptation. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. Push against him, and he will flee from you. So yes, we will have to press against things as we go through our lives as Christians. Thirdly, we press upward. We press upward. This direction's very important. You know, it's easy to push down, isn't it? It's easy to press down. The world is calling for us to go down. It's never going to try to lift you up. It's never going to try to build you up. It's always going to try to push you down and keep you in place. In all areas of life, many people choose to press down instead of pressing upward. You know, we can go through life being subpar or below average. Now, you know, subpar, that's a good thing in golf, but that's the only thing it's good in. It's easy to become mediocre. It's easy to be ordinary. It's easy to be average. Neither good, neither bad. How can God argue with that? He does. He doesn't want average. He didn't send you average. He doesn't do an average thing for you. And He expects more than average in return. Instead, we should press to become excellent. We should press to be superior. You know, you go back and you read about the Apostle Paul before he became a Christian. He was a superior worker in what he was doing. He was trying to wipe out Christianity, because in the Jewish eyes, Christianity was a devastating thing to the Jewish religion. And it needed to be brought to an end. And he knew that. He believed that. And he worked for that end. And he felt the very same way when he was converted to Christ. Christianity is the answer. And I've got to work hard. I've got to press toward that. When it comes to our spiritual life, we must definitely press upward. Let's go back to Philippians 4 again, or Philippians 3, where he said, I press toward the mark for the prize. Oh, I'm pushing for that prize. And that's what we must do in our life as Christians. But we need to understand it's not going to be an easy push, because the world is going to push back. And the world is going to try to get you to push downward. And let me tell you what happens when you push downward. When you push downward, you know less Bible. Your study habits are not what they need to be. You want fewer lessons and fewer Bible classes. You don't want to be bothered with God's Word. You will want more entertainment, and not so much just entertainment, but maybe worldly entertainment, filthy entertainment. You will allow your feelings to replace your rational thinking. And you'll get the concept that it's all about me, my, what I have, what I've done, what I'm doing. And you leave God completely out, and it's no longer about God. That's what happens when you push down. So we need to be sure that we push up. Next, and this one we have to learn how to do. We need to learn how to push together. What is possible when we push together? Everything is possible when we push together. If we develop the same mind, the same goal, the same ideas, the same principles, have the same understanding, we can all push in the same direction. We've all played tug of war as children. And, you know, we would always do it in school over a little mud puddle. And the loser wound up in the mud. But we would get our group together and we would pull together. And if one person fell down, it weakened our side and we began to slip. But when that person got back up and started pulling again, we had all of our strength. We could pull together, we could pull harder, and we could win. You see, when you pull together, things get done. You accomplish things that generally you would not be able to accomplish by yourself. I want to read to you from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And this brings this point home very clear. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. Two are better than one, because they will have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will have heat. How can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I remember as a child, at my home congregation in Killen, we had a guest speaker come in, and he brought in with him a little spool of thread. Now, it's just plain old sewing thread that we all know well. And he found the most burliest, biggest man that we had in our church, and he brought him up to the front, and he set him in a chair right in front of everybody, and he took that spool of thread, and he went around that man one time, tied it off, and asked him to break free. Well, he was free just like that. So he set him back down, and he went two times around that man with that spool of thread. No problem. Well, he kept doing that. By the time we got to five or six rounds with that thread, he could still break it, but it was a little harder. And by the time he went around that man 10 or 15 times with that spool of thread, he could not break free. That little tiny strand of thread, when you put 15 or 20 of them together, they become so strong and so powerful, they can't be broken, at least not with human strength. That's what we need in our church, my friends. We need to learn to wrap ourselves around each other and strengthen each other and bring each other together and help each other be strong. And that helps us to press on. And there is literally nothing that we cannot do if we work together. Final point is kind of sad, because sometimes we find ourselves having to press alone. We know that the world is going to stand against us. We know that humanity in general may stand against us. And you know, sometimes those who you feel are closest to you may stand against you. This is what happened to the Son of God. On the night of His betrayal, His disciples were many. But when the Roman soldiers came to take Him, they all fled. And He had to stand alone. It happened to the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, he said. But all men forsook me. Sometimes those who you think you can count on, sometimes those who you depend on, will turn against you. And you may find yourself having to stand alone. There's one thing we need to understand, though, about standing alone. Standing alone does not mean that you're wrong. We stand alone many times as we fight for that which is right. We found Jesus standing alone many times. We found the apostles, the Christian teachers, standing alone many times. We found many standing against them so many times. But you know, when we're alone, we're really not alone. Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 13 verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And when we stand alone, with God standing by us, we're definitely not alone. We stand with a strength that makes us the majority. We stand in a strength that makes us superior. And we stand in a strength that makes us the victor. So we need to learn to press, even if we have to press alone. You know, to press requires a lot of effort, a lot of labor, a lot of toil. Those who press the hardest are those who win the victory. So tonight, my friends, I say to you, press on. Press against. Press upward. Press together. And if you need to, press alone. And you can have that victory. Just keep on pressing till you get there. There is a prize that is waiting for you at the end. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can begin that journey by pressing on, by pressing toward God, by obeying the gospel that it is given to you. Give the Lord your life, and then you can live a life of pressing, pressing toward that goal that Paul talked about, that prize, that home. And Christian, if you have given up, if you're no longer pressing, we give you an opportunity to change your life, to repent of your shortcomings, and to get back into the race and press, press, press till you win that prize. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come while we stand and sing.